Good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control actually for this session is Gary, KC2RMO from Syracuse, New York. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and my location is Vero Beach, Florida. I'm merely opening the session this evening, but my temperature currently is about 71 degrees. So slight rain out there. We had a 82 as a high, and I think our humidity right now is about 87%. But it has been a sort of gloomy, overcast day here in South Florida. Prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, I ask you to come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, how about any of those birthday stations? You know what? I know our NCS this evening had a birthday just a few days ago, so hopefully he'll come aboard. And we also had one of our senior sysops who had a birthday on Friday, and he may not be up, but let me call for any birthday stations to come aboard.
RMO.
Well, good evening, Mr. RMO, and happy birthday once again. I know you said you were going to be celebrating your birthday this weekend, but here you are tonight, and you'll be there again in the morning. So maybe you'd like to tell us what you did for your birthday besides eating all that Chinese food, and maybe what you got as a birthday present. So, Mr. Gary, KC2RMO, come aboard and happy birthday once again from South Cars.
Hey, thank you, Kathy. It was a good birthday. It was a quiet birthday by birthday standards around here. So it was pretty. It was kind of low key, but we've been kind of dragging this through the weekend. It's just been such a crazy weekend. We've got a couple of things going on, of course, South Cars wise, and I have a ton of stuff going on with school too. So we're kind of juggling in between everything. So it was, we're kind of doing little celebrations in between things. But for my birthday, I got a gift card for Amazon from my daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter. I got a lovely harmonica holder and a harmonica from my lovely wife. And I have something coming in the mail from Virginia from my son, and we haven't seen that yet, so we're still waiting on that one. So that's en route, so yet another surprise to be had. So we're gonna find out about that. And you never know, maybe there'll be another birthday surprise tomorrow somehow, in between writing all this stuff that I have to write for school. Yeah, I don't know if you heard Steph, but there was a doubt fold that came from that corner. So with that in mind, we'll turn it back to you. This is KC2RMO going back to the net.
Well, Gary, once again, I want to say happy birthday, and it sounds like some great gifts. You know, Doug, KA0GYF, and I have been in contact by email an awful lot. He turned, I believe, 65, and he got his Medicare card, and he was telling me how to go about it because that's something I'm going to be doing in May. So we've been talking about that. So you've got a ways to go yet, but I'm sure in your household you're also celebrating That long-awaited certification that Stephanie's been waiting for. And I'm glad that she finally got that and that things are looking up for her there. And hopefully in the state of New York there'll be some openings. There's tons of them down here. They cannot get enough subs to carry the classrooms. So, you know, it's a time of the year that I've never seen before for teaching. So I wish her luck. But this is South Car's VOIP Global Family Hour. The intent of this net is to encourage our members, their families, and their friends worldwide to enter into an informal social net highlighting third-party traffic through the member station. Our program for this evening is we're going to talk about phones, cell phones, landlines, smartphones. Any of those phones you want to talk about, and I know Gary has a great program. So before any further ado, Gary, I will tell everyone that I always record my sessions. It's part of the practice I do every night before I start the Global and the Rag Chew in the morning, is I record them. So they are recorded for future presentation on our website. And if you haven't checked out our website in the podcast area, I sure hope you do, because we have a lot of podcasts there and a lot of work on Gordon's part to put them there. So with that, Mr. Gary, I'm going to throw it your direction so you can begin our session this evening. Thanks for allowing me to open it up for you. KC2RMO from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking forward to your program tonight.
Well, thanks once again, Kathy, and hello, everybody. It's 50 degrees right here in Syracuse's beautiful outer Comstock section, and we have a bunch of watches and warnings weather-wise tonight to report. We have a high wind watch. We're expecting winds up to 65 miles an hour. We are also looking out for flooding. There is a flood watch in effect right through, I guess, Monday afternoon right now. They just issued these, so I haven't got all the details on it. But looks like we're in for a couple of kind of exciting days around here. Well, tonight we're going to get a little bit phony. Our topic is phones, whether it's plain old telephone system called POTS or a cell phone or a smartphone. We're tied to them maybe a little bit more than many of us would care to be. But they're an integral part of our daily lives, and when you think about it, it wasn't that long ago that phones were made of Bakelite, weighed about 10 pounds, and had a rotary dial. They worked great, too, and we usually had one or two of them at the most. You didn't have any more in that. And they were always in the house. Now we take them everywhere we go. So let me just buy a nickel. So the question tonight, can you live without yours? So let's take some check-ins right now as we reach out and talk about phones on the Global Family Hour. I'm KC2RMO. This is South Cars, and we're taking check-ins right now. Come on aboard.
Six Victor, good evening, sir.
And good evening to you, sir. Thanks for being there. And anybody else, we'll take check-ins right now.
Sierra United November.
WH2AAT.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
Hey, great first round there. Nice to see a bunch of people jumping in right off the bat. And we'll get things going with Six Victor. Come on aboard, Gordon.
Hey, good evening, Gary. Thanks for running the show, number one. Happy continued birthday from the 14th, sir. Great comments about the harmonica holder. I think that's great. And if Stephanie's going to be playing the harmonica, I don't know if you've got a harmonica holder for yourself so you can pick the guitar at the same time that you're playing the harmonica and everybody in sync and harmony. It ought to be great. I hope that you touch on tonight, Gary, some of the habits that our hams have had through the years, and that's the phone patch. You take that squirrely little two-wire contraption and run it into the input of your transceiver and connect somebody via the landline in your local area or even remote to somebody that's many, many miles away. A lot of good service came for that with our service personnel that were deployed overseas. I would also encourage you to remember the technique. Let me buy a nickel here. The technique of the ring signal. I did this quite a bit, being out in San Francisco in my early days and having friends out in New York where families were regimentated to not answer the phone until about the fifth ring of the phone, because one ring indicated get on 40 meters. Second ring said get on 20 meters. Third ring says get on 15 meters. And it didn't cost you a cent if they didn't pick up the phone. Thanks, Gary. KY6V, over.
Hey, thank you, sir. That's awesome. Yeah, Stephanie, in the background, just as just before you said so long there for the moment, just before you went away, had said, hey, you can't do that now. And you know, because so many phones roll over automatically to either a cell phone or to an answering machine or what. But that's a great idea. And I know that was something that was pretty commonplace back in the not-so-old days where you would have, you know, a couple of rings and then I hang up. You know that talk about timing. I mean, a couple of rings and it would be, you know, so-and-so, and a third ring it would be so-and-so. So you would have your ring, you know, that if you heard the phone ring through three times at 7 o'clock, you knew it was me calling, you know, or something like that. Phone patches. Hey, I bought a phone patch. It was a Yaesu phone patch, and the reason I got it was that it had a nice speaker in it. I found it. I don't even know where I found this thing. I might have found it on eBay. I don't know, but I got a great deal for the thing, and it's old. I mean, it's like it's got tubes, you know? But it had a really good sounding speaker, and so I was using that down in the shack for a while. I never hooked it up to the phone line, but maybe one of these days when I start to feel adventurous, I'll do that. You know, see if this thing actually works, and we'll also find out. Little interface with VoIP. We'll see what we shall see. Well, thank you, sir. Hope we hear from you next time around, too. Kathy, come on aboard K6SUN. Let's hear from you.
Well, good evening, Gary. And your phone ringing in the background, I'm sure that's a landline. Doesn't sound like a cell phone. But, you know, I go way back to those dark ages, I guess what it is now, when all of us who are older remember that black rotary phone. When I was growing up, we only had one in the household, fairly large house, I guess, but we didn't have them in each room. And nowadays, if you do have a landline, it has to be in each room. But, you know, I always enjoyed going away from that rotary when I did get a landline. I always liked the princess phones. But I don't have a landline now. I did away with that landline when I got the cell phone. That was back in about 2003, but I remember that landline was a way I could connect for the very first time to the internet through dial-up. So if I hadn't had that, I wouldn't be able to do that. But I gave up my cell phone in 2012 or 13, I believe. Yes, this past summer to get a smartphone, and I guess I would say I can't do without the phone. It's I do a lot of probably texting. It's a way for me to keep in touch with people, and it's a security for me in case I have problems out in the world. But I'll turn it back to you. I enjoyed the comment of Gordon talking about the rings. Remember, my mother would never answer a phone unless it rang 10 times, Gary, and I believe it's still that way. So if you hang up the phone before the 10th ring, you won't be getting her. Back to you, Gary, from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Holy cow, 10 times. Wow. That's even worse than I am. I'll let it go. I will. I'll just, you know, I'll look if nothing's up on the comes up on the caller ID, I'm not going to pick it up. If I don't know who's on the other end of the line, I don't want to talk to them. But you know, those phones, going back to the old days with the 10-pound Bakelite special. What great phones those were. And I recall too, as a kid, it was very common not to have your own individual line. That was something that was it was the upgrade. You know, you paid extra for that. You had a party line, and depending upon where you lived, you would have another person or sometimes two or three people sharing that line with you. And I can remember as a kid, and this was really, I'm going to say, right up until the time I was maybe 12 or 13, all right, so 63 or 64, that my mom had a shared line, a party line. And the person that she shared it through was she never stopped talking, and B, she was the neighborhood busybody. She was always lifting up that phone to hear what was going on when she wasn't talking. Let me just buy a nickel. So you when you got to use the phone, you know, it was like the authorities are listening, you know, that sort of thing. It was unbelievable. So when the day came when they got rid of all the party lines, when they just everybody had private service, I was dancing in the streets, you know. It was great. It was those were welcome times, that's for sure. But that wasn't uncommon. I mean, that's the way you did with a phone, and you had your own ring. You know, you go back to the number of rings. There were you would have a unique ring that identified whether a call was coming in for you or for one of the other people that you were sharing it with too. So amazing that we've come from something like that to phones that you can hold in the palm of your hand and reach anywhere in the world, and sometimes even out of this world. You know, it's technically possible to talk to a satellite. I don't know. So interesting. Just something to think about anyway. We're talking about phones tonight on the Global Family Hour, and we'll move it along. Thanks, Kathy, for checking in, by the way. And as I say, we're talking about phones. We'll move it along. We'll go to AAT. Gaylord, come on aboard.
Okay. I'm here. Gaylord, WH2AAT. Well, I learned something new about modern technology. That's the phone. I recently, back in July, bought a Samsung Tab 2, mainly because it gave me opportunity to download a book from Amazon so I could satisfy the wife. I'd have something to do while I was laid over in Atlanta for 3 hours going to my 50th high school class reunion. It also had a camera. I thought that could do anything but make a phone call. Well, I was wrong. It does make phone calls if you download the app Talkatone. And so now that little tablet is going to replace a couple of smartphones when the contract is up next April. And that will save me a whole bunch of money. It'll save me so much money, I'll probably go to Verizon, buy their little hot box or hotspot, I guess it is, where you can connect up to 10 other devices, I guess. That way, my son dropped his phone here recently, and that cost him $99 for a replacement. And our Verizon bill is up there about $160 to $70 a month. So if I can get rid of those, or reduce it down, say, $100, hey, that gives me $75 times 10. That's $750 I can maybe put back in ham gear, or wife could use it too. So all those out there with tablets, you can have a phone in your tablet too. Talkathon. And the wife was very surprised. I was up there to a Samsung Experience in Best Buy, up 7 miles up the road from him. And evidently the Samsung Experience personnel that work in Best Buy but are not part of Best Buy. I guess they had a conference, phone conference, and they did not show up as scheduled. So I'm sitting in the chair, listening to South Cars over on high gain, I think it was, listening to people out in Utah, even talk to them out there in Utah. Didn't have a radio anywhere around, just a tablet, and using Best Buy's Wi-Fi. I was having a lot of fun. In comes a couple, and that's the one that told me about Talk-A-Tone. And I downloaded it, but I had to come home, use my computer, and log in on my Gmail account to make the thing work on the tablet. But it does work just fine. That way you don't have to use up all your cell phone minutes on your various smartphone or phones. You may go through AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, just to mention a few of them out there. And save some money, people. And that's my thing I learned today. I don't know if anybody heard me when I was in the Best Buy this morning or not. But anyway, I was transmitting there using the Samsung Galaxy Tab 2. And I found out the Tab 3 is a bit better, but it's not all that much better. They both run about 159. So that's my advertisement for the net tonight. I'll go back on the quiet side. WH2AH.
Well, thank you, Gaylord. It is amazing. Isn't it, what we can do nowadays? I think we're getting to the point where you could put an old sneaker and get it on some phone network somewhere. It's incredible. That's the new thing nowadays, these little portable hotspots. You can basically take your network anywhere you want. I see that commercial. You'll see that commercial of you've got a family sitting in the car, and they've got one of these things, and one kid's playing games, one kid's on the internet, somebody's doing some work with the office, and it's really quite remarkable. And I remember, I remember my first cell phone, and I was so impressed with this thing. I'm like, wow, you can carry this thing around and talk to anywhere in the world. You know, what was interesting, I don't know why that reminded me of it, but when I was back on the radio, on the commercial radio, I had a news director whose dad worked for Motorola. Let me buy a nickel. And I can remember him coming to me one day and saying, hey, Gare, my dad is working on this thing now called cell phones. And he said, buy Motorola stock. You know, he says, this is going to be big, you know. And I said, what's a cell phone? You know, he says, well, it's like this phone that you have in a suitcase that you can take anywhere with you, and you can call any place in the world on it. And he said, buy the stock. It's going to be big, you know. And I said, Bob, that'd be nice, but, I don't have that sort of money, blah, 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 I should have. It would have been nice, but didn't work out that way for the kid. Anyway, thank you, Gaylord. We're talking about phones tonight, all kinds of stuff with phones. And we're moving on out to Ohio and VXP. Rick, come on aboard.
This is N1 VXP. Yeah, definitely. Got to wait around for that mentioned about earlier about weather. Yeah, we got a 30 to 40% chance of tornadoes tomorrow. Severe thunderstorms, high wind. Actually, the wind starts, they're talking windy tonight. They're forecasting about 20 to 25 mile an hour winds out of the south this evening. So, kind of sit back and let the weather hit. Speaking of phones, I can remember as well having the party line phone. But I remember that big old phone sitting on that little desk, and I remember that big box that was attached to the wall. that was where the ringer and everything else was. And as far as that bell, you had either low or high as far as the control on it. Couldn't make it very soft ringing sound. And yeah, the ringing, I can remember a couple times as far as the ringer. We had one time where the phone rang. It was like one ring and then it would buzz. And my mother said, oh, I got to answer the phone. It didn't really do anything, but she picked up the phone and there was somebody calling her. And as soon as she was done, she had to call back and call on the telephone company to come out and fix the ringer. Let me drop for a second. And they came back. They came out the next day and actually took the big box off the wall and put a smaller type of phone on there and said, oh, we got this new style. Everything is all in one part. And definitely kind of surprising. But, you know, I like the idea of the Princess phones. I had one for a while where I was living at, and I got to the point where I got very very good about dialing a number really quick. Everybody looked at me and like, how could you ring how could you dial a phone number so quick? And I was like, well, I'm getting used to it. With the push button, wasn't quite that easy. But somebody had showed me the technique of dialing a number. And, you know, I showed a couple other people, you know, how to do it on a rotary phone, and they were surprised. They said, we never thought you could do it that quick. Of course, you still had to wait for the dial to move back to the original position, but it was quite a little technique. I had an experience one time. I was out in San Francisco, out on vacation, and had to call a relative out on the East Coast, and I felt like I was talking on a radio because you could actually hear the other party talking, and then it would be a hesitation and then it would be your turn to talk, but you couldn't talk over them. You could hear it, and it was quite strange. Let me drop one more second. I feel that that was a real strange thing, but that was an experience where I realized that this is all going on satellite communication, so quite a connection. As far as cell phones, I've had one for, oh, it's got to be over, probably a good 12 years or better. I just don't like the idea of a landline phone, even though people say, well, if the power goes out, you still have a landline phone. However, if you're not home, you don't have an answering machine. So makes it kind of tough when people try to call and leave a message. And if you got a answering machine that's plugged in by way of the AC cord, you're out of luck. But I tell people I'd rather have a cell phone because I can tell people, hey, call me tomorrow anytime. I'll, you know, answer the call. Whereas if I had a landline phone, I would be stuck with waiting around until they called, or I would have to tell them, hey, call me at a certain time. If something happened, I couldn't get back to answer the call, then it'd be kind of a little mix-up as to they wouldn't get me, or they'd leave a message, or somebody would leave a message. It could have been an important call, and I would have to either call that later that day if they're open a business, or wait until the next day. Like the convenience of having a cell phone carried around. People call me anytime. Let me drop one more second. If somebody does call me, you know, I can answer at any time, especially if I'm out traveling. But if I don't recognize the number, I let it go over to voicemail, If they don't leave a voicemail, then I just delete the number out of my phone and say, well, they got to call back some other time. Maybe I will answer the call, but I found that a lot of times I get people calling the wrong number, and I found that it was easier just to do the voicemail, and if they realize that they got the wrong number, that's okay. N1GXP, back to net control.
Hey, thank you, Rick. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, it's so funny. You want to talk about an odd couple? That would be my wife and me when it comes to phones. I have a cell phone. I don't even use it. My wife, however, my darling wife, has a smartphone, and it's attached to her. It is a part of her being. It is an essential part of her soul. It's funny, you know, how you embrace that. I'm still kind of looking around to see if I can find a nice old dial phone in really good shape, and see if I can get it to work on the VoIP network. I think it'd be pretty cool. I love those things, and one of these days I'm gonna get one of those. You know, you had mentioned the Princess phone, and of course that was the big modern step. I think that thing came out about 62 or so. But the cool thing was when they went over to Touchtone, and Touchtone's very cool technology. That is your DTMF technology, where basically there's two tones on top of each other. One represents the column, the other represents the row, and that's how you get your numbers. But the coolest thing about Touchtone to me wasn't how fast you could dial that number. It was how many songs you could play on the Touchtone phone. Of course, sometimes you ended up dialing Alaska, but hey, what the heck. Hey, Six Victor had a comment. We're going to bring him on aboard. So, Gordon, come on aboard, sir.
Hey, thanks, Gary. KY6V here. I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments. First of all, I'm glad I'm not the oldest guy on the network here tonight. When Rick, good evening to you, sir, mentioned that little wooden box that hung up on the wall that had a crank on the side of it. These were the party line days. And, you know, you would crank in your call and everybody else on the line would pick up to listen to what was going on. Gary, do you remember the gal's name escapes me at the moment? A comedian that got on there, and she was a PBX telephone operator on TV, and it was a TV series of some type. And she'd go, one ding-a-ling, two ding-a-ling, three ding-a-lings, and then she'd answer the phone. She had black hair down to her shoulders and sort of curly at the top. She was not particularly attractive, but she was one grand comedian. You being a musician, sir, do you remember the song Black Eyed Peas? One ring-a-ling, two ding-a-lings, etc. KY6V, back to net.
You know, I've heard that before. You know, the lady that you're referring to was from one of my favorite shows of all time, and it was a show that was very big in the late 60s, called Laugh-In. It was Dan Rowan and Dick Martin. Hilarious show. A very topical show. And just a super funny show. The character she played was Ernestine. And her name was Lily Tomlin. Lily Tomlin on Laugh-In. And she did that. That was spectacular. She was made for that part. And I can visualize her today. You painted a great picture, but definitely funny stuff without a doubt. I'm looking over in the text box here, and I'm seeing LCB. I think has a comment. George, did you have anything to throw into the mix here? Come on aboard, LCB.
Yeah, buddy. Good evening to you, Gary. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo. You know, we kind of go back to, party line phones and have seen a crank up to in my time there. Got introduced to the wrong side of the crank up, but that's another tale there. But I miss Katie there. Before I met Katie, she worked for the telephone company. And going back to Pulse, a dialing there, you know, she learned to identify the clicks and series of clicks, you know, as to how to route different calls there. And a couple of these phones I have here is, you know, you could either go a pulse or a tone, you know, so we still keep one or two in play. We do have a, you know, outside line. Let me pause for the calls. I have, you know, we go back to the DSL or whatever slow time speed they call it nowadays. And business-wise, we have kept the landline, so to speak. And you really put a hole in my sieve there when you told me I had something else besides a cell phone. This little thing I got, to me, it's a darn cell phone. Now, it will do a whole bunch of other things there, but I'm not that familiar with it, and I'm really not interested in going that route there. Do enjoy being able to connect with Echolink on it there, but most of the time I'm leaving it sitting somewhere in the car or under a cushion or someplace, you know, it's just a pain for me to carry it there. But most everybody knows how to get hold to me if they want to, so if they really needed to, they could. So the heck with the cell phones, and let's go back to the old days. KW4EM, Charlie Bravo.
Hey George, I can sympathize and empathize with a lot of what you just said. Let me just clear my throat for a minute here. You know, it's so funny. I have a cell phone. I don't use it. And now that I'm semi-retired, I may one of these days pick me up a smartphone and you know, and learn how to use this thing the way it ought to be used. You know, I've got a few projects ahead of that, though. So, but you know, maybe we'll get into that. But you know, you were talking a little bit there about how the different clicks related to different things. Those of course would you had and you still do have telephone exchanges, which are powered by telephone switches. Back in the old days, switches were all mechanical. These were a series of electromagnetic relays. Those clicks would close, you know, certain relays and certain sequences, and that's how your call got routed. When I think it was somewhere in the early 70s, when most of the there it goes again. I'm sorry about that. Most of the switching in the United States started transferring over to digital switching. That's when they started building the digital switching technology, digital switching networks. But mechanical switching was around for quite some time, and it was reliable. It was slow though, and it didn't allow for a lot of the enhanced features in phones too. Let me just buy a nickel for a minute. But as you may or may not know, I am one of the world's great Dragnet fans. And you're saying, how does Dragnet enter into a conversation about phones? I love to listen to the old Dragnet radio shows, and there was one in particular where they were placing a long-distance call between Los Angeles and I think it was someplace in Michigan. And I wish I could play this for you. I wish this was commercial radio and I could play this for you, because they had it down exactly the way they used to do that, where you would call an operator and she would dial to another exchange, which in turn would dial to another exchange and then make that final hop to the final destination. And you would place these operator-placed calls, you know, through these different manual routes. That is how you completed a long-distance phone call back in those days. It wasn't just 1717, blah, 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 you know. You had to tell the operator who you wanted to call or where you wanted to call, and that they would establish the route manually. So we're talking about phones tonight, in case you didn't guess that, right? And it's all about phones and whether they're plain old telephone network type phones or cell phones or smartphones. You know, cell phones is I think there's a little bit of a gray area in the term cell phone. Let me just buy a nickel. A cell phone, by definition, is any portable telephone that uses a cellular network technology to make and receive calls. Now, we had just described the old mechanical network, and which in turn became a digital network, so that these mechanical functions were taken up by computers. But now we have cellular networks that are out there. And we're going to talk about cellular networks in a minute. But the term cell phone is interchangeable with the term cellular phone and mobile phone. They all mean the same thing. The term smartphone has come to mean a cell phone, which offers more advanced features than just calls, SMS messages, and basic organizer software. Often, when talking about mobile phones, cell phone is used to describe a simple feature phone, while smartphone is used to describe more advanced touchscreen phones. By the way, the first commercially available cell phone, this is, I was talking about Bob, my news director, right? The first available cell phone was developed by Motorola between 1973 and 1983, and he probably came to me with this news somewhere around 1981, I would guess. They went on sale in the U.S. early in 1984. This huge 28-ounce cell phone called the Dynatac 8000X cost, are you ready for this? This is the cost of this, and it's a very big phone, cost $3,995 in 1984 dollars. It needed to be charged after just 30 minutes of use. The Dynatac 8000X is almost unrecognizable as a cell phone when compared to the devices we use today. It's estimated there were over 5 billion cell phones in use at the end of 2012. Amazing. We're talking about phones tonight, and we'll take another round of check-ins right now. I'm KC2RMO, and this is SoundGuards.
Howdy, my Charlie Bravo.
WH2AAT.
Okay, got a couple that time around, and Lima, Charlie Bravo, come on aboard, George.
Well, thank you again, and Gary. I remember, back when your mobile telephones came out there with, you had about a old 24-inch square transmitter and a little old head, here we move up into the cell phone deal, and you're telling me the first one out weighs about 28 inches. I tell you what, with something that big and a cost price on there, definitely, it had to be the business world that capitalize on the need, of that, as far as being the one that could get to his market manager and switch this and switch that. So I guess, business industry pushed that along for a more, investigation and open the market up, way up on it. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Thanks, George. Yeah, they must have seen the potential for this thing. I mean, here it was 28 ounces it weighed. All right, so what do you got? Almost 2 pounds. It weighs almost 2 pounds. Costs almost $4,000, and you can only use it for 30 minutes before you have to charge the battery. But they must have seen the potential there. They must have seen. And by the way, it took 10 years to develop this. So they must have realized that there was a huge amount of potential with this, even though that this was an awkward and costly device that they must have seen the future and known that it would have worked. Because you can remember, I'm sure, whether or not you actually saw one or not, that even if you'll see it in old movies that there were mobile phones. At that, those were already in existence, but they were not based in cellular technology. They were basically two-way radios, and it would interface with probably a phone patch, I would imagine, somewhere, whether it was at the phone company or what, but it was a different technology. The whole cellular technology, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, is quite different, and I think that's what really made the whole deal. But obviously, they must have sunk a ton of money in it. Motorola certainly has some bucks to invest, so I guess that was worth a worthwhile gamble for them. And they must have had a lot of confidence in the design that they had. But thanks, George. We'll move along now to AAT and Gaylord. Come on aboard, sir.
Okay. Not to give away my age, but I can remember the old wooden box on the wall. The big old crank, like a megaphone thing you spoke into, and the little black deal that came off the hook and you had to sit up to your ear. That wasn't around very long, and it got replaced by the big old common black thing with the dial on it. And I can remember the party line. I think our house, you had to wait until you heard two rings. Ring, ring. And that was a phone call in our house. And, yeah, I think there's about seven individual houses on the party line. And that was the way to gossip back then. Because it's very hard. If everybody picked up about the same time, our ring was twice, and then the neighbor across the street was three. You just wait until the third ring, and we'd probably be both picking up the same time. And you could listen in on each other's conversation. That means the gossip. And nowadays, I sure like to have all these phones that are getting recycled, along with computers and printers and all this electronic stuff, because if I had all that in one big old, probably take a couple aircraft carriers to put all that stuff in nowadays, but I'd probably have more gold than what was in Fort Knox at present. Hi, back to you there, Gary.
Hey, thank you, Gaylord. That's a different type of prospecting. It's one way of doing it, that's for sure. Yeah, but that was those party lines. That was cheap entertainment for those inclined to do that sort of thing. I really, even as a kid, I can remember how bad she was on that phone, man. She was just, you'd lift it up to place a phone call, and she would be on that thing, and she was talking about everybody in the neighborhood. I mean, it was just like, holy cow, you'd hang up and like, I go over to the drugstore and make a phone call. That was another thing you don't see anymore, at least around here, is pay phones. You remember every corner had a pay phone. Every corner drugstore had a pay phone. Every place that any commercial business had a pay phone in it. But you do not see that anymore. And that's kind of gone by the wayside, too. But I can remember if I had to call a girl, I'd go down to the drugstore, you know, to save myself from the prying ears of Mrs. Adams. We're talking about phones tonight, and we're talking about all kinds of different phones, whether it's a cell phone or a dial phone or what have you. You know, we were talking about cellular networks a moment ago. A cellular network, which gives cell phones their name, is made up of cellular masts or towers distributed across the country in a grid-like pattern. Of course, you've seen these giant towers with these rectangular antenna all over them. Now, each mast covers a relatively small region of the grid, usually about 10 square miles, each called a cell. Let me buy a nickel for a moment here. Large mobile phone carriers like AT&T, Sprint, Verizon, Vodafone, T-Mobile, the rest, erect and use their own cellular masts and therefore have control over the level of cellular coverage they can provide. Several such masts can be located on the same tower, and that's why you see this huge clutter of cell phone antenna on these towers. When you make a call on a cell phone, the signal travels through the air to the nearest mast or tower, and then is relayed to a switching network, and finally onto the handset of the person that you are calling via the mast closest to them. If you're making a cell phone call while traveling in a moving vehicle, for example, you may quickly move from the range of one cell tower to the range of another. No two adjoining cells use the same frequency, so to avoid interference, but the transition between cellular mast areas is normally a seamless thing. We have a comment from KY6V, and Gordon, come on aboard, sir.
Thank you, Gary. Boy, you're right on the spot watching that screen. KY6V here. I just want to take you back to payphones for just a moment and make light of that. You know, the reason that we don't have much payphones anymore are the hams. I can tell you with a lot of personal experience that after World War II, there was a lot of war surplus equipment available, aircraft material and land material and so on and so forth, that used carbon microphones, okay? Well, the payphones use carbon microphones in the handsets. And the World War II microphones that came on the market were not as good a quality as the telephone company was using with their F1 carbon microphones in their payphones. The hams found out about this. And so they would go down to their local corner that had a payphone. They'd unscrew the microphone portion of the handheld, take the F1 button, and hang the rascal back up, take it home, and put it on their microphone to get better quality. And that's a story that Mr. Harvey never heard. KY6V, over.
I can't believe a ham radio operator would do such a thing. I never knew that, but I believe that implicitly. I think it's great. I really do. I can remember, not quite the same thing, but when we would do a remote broadcast, we had a Collins remote board. It was a little it was solid state. It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to say 5-channel or 6-channel mixing board. And what you would do is it had a 300-ohm output on this thing that you could alligator clip to the terminals of the microphone in a phone handset. So you'd take the handset apart, you'd pop out the button, you'd clip to the terminals, and you were on the air. It was that simple. It was no muss, no fuss, no STLs, no nothing. You just put that baby on the phone line, and the guy on the other end put it on the air. Thank you, Gordon. A couple of people standing by for comments, and we'll go ladies first with K6SUN. Kathy, come on aboard.
Well, thank you so much, Gary. All I got to tell you is about the payphones. The true story here is the reason there is no more payphones is actually because of my children here down in South Florida actually shaking those machines and destroying those machines to get the money out. That is the reason they no longer have pay phones. So it's actually the true story is those wonderful children here in my area that destroyed the pay phones. But I want to tell you something about the cell phones, and this has to do with education and the children in our schools. So I'm not sure if it's around the country, but I remember way back when I was first teaching, way back in early 2000, children were allowed to have cell phones for emergencies. I'm not sure if the teachers kept them, but it was only for emergencies to call home. Then I got to a point that they no longer allowed cell phones because the children were using those cell phones to text other children during class time for answers on tests and that. So now in our school, especially the two schools I'm at, there's no longer cell phones allowed. If those children are seen with those cell phones, they're taken. They're given to them at the end of the day. The first time. The second time, a parent comes in, and the third time, actually, it's the end of school year, because it's been abused an awful lot. So that's a little bit of cell phone history with children in South Florida, and that may be completely around the country as well. Back to you, Gary, and I hope you understand why we don't have pay phones any longer.
Well, now we know the rest of the story. It was your kids. I'm holding you personally responsible. It's great to know that now, though. Now we know where they went, and ham radio is off the hook too, because it can't be stealing those carbon mics. But you know, by the way, they must have sounded better. Although I always thought the fidelity on the old phones was pretty good. It certainly wasn't hi-fi. I know they tailored it 300 to 3,000 hertz, but it was very clean and it was very clear. As you got into digital switching, you got higher fi, and they were putting Electret microphones in there, not the carbons, but and you got a little bit better frequency response, but they didn't sound bad at all. So Gordon had a great point there that they would have sounded great on the air. We have George standing by with a comment too. Lima Charlie Bravo, let's hear from you, sir.
Well, thank you again, and Gary. You could believe it about the carbon mics there. All you got to do is root around Gordon's old shed there and see him blazing. And Miss Kathy is partially right as far as the younger kids there, destroying it. But, I know of days when it was nothing like a nice a chisel there and a 2-pound a sledge, that goes back to the 60s and 70s there, and their key that they use on them boxes, man, it's a fascinating lock that they use on them. So what can I say, the payphone has had its licks through time, so what can I say? Now it's all done electronically, even the call. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Thank you, George. And yeah, I had heard, up until tonight, I of course that would count as vandalism too. Of course, so. Not so much the stealing of the money from them, but I had actually heard that payphones were used for drug deals because apparently you can't trace them, or it'll just trace to a generalized location, and it's pretty hard to get caught, I guess, if you make a drug deal on a payphone, and that's why they would get rid of them, to try to cut down on people making drug deals, But it does make sense, too, that, you know, whether you have a fabricated key or you just go in there with, you know, a sledgehammer and you know, or, you know, 2-pound hammer and a chisel, you know, and just break the coin box, you know. I guess no matter how you do it, I guess they're probably, the telephone company is probably sick and tired of replacing them. So, you know, just to get rid of them, that was one thing. Plus, everybody and their brother's got a cell phone now anyway. It looks like we have VXP standing by. Rick, hello there, and let's hear from you right now.
This is N1VXP. Yeah, to answer Gordon's question about age, I wasn't talking about the box with the crank on it. It was actually the box with the ringer bell mounted on it. And I can remember there was the, I guess it was called a cloth-covered cord. It wasn't the coiled-up type cord on the phone that went from the phone to the box itself. And they didn't use that flexible cord like they have today. But, yeah, the answer to the pay phones, you're right, Gary. The drug deals were one problem. And you could always tell when there was somebody standing around. He wasn't necessarily doing drug deals, but it was a bookie doing the bets. You know, had to make that call in. Of course, I can remember, oh, I would say probably the early 70s, finding payphones that were designed only for making outgoing calls. You know, you could call somebody from the payphone, but they could not call you back because there would be no ringer in it, and you wouldn't be able to, excuse me, you wouldn't be able to get the call coming back, or at least that's what the phone company had intended. But most of us had figured out if we told somebody to call us back, we waited 3 seconds, and we picked up the phone, and they actually got through. So it was one way to do it. Let me drop for a second. I can remember also a while back after the payphones pretty well disappeared that somebody came up with this great idea of reestablishing them with a company idea of making money, but that ended up being the biggest joke because it was proven a scam. They say, oh yeah, you can buy a set up a payphone at a local corner and make money, but it seemed like there was the cost of operating that payphone was more than what the money could be coming in, or the money was generated. So that got pretty well knocked off the market. And if you Google rotary phones, working rotary phones for sale, you'll find there's quite a few out there. And every so often I do call like an 800 number, and you know, the automated answering system says, if you're calling from a rotary phone, please hang on to the line. And apparently, I guess there are still quite a few people that even in this great digital world, they still insist on using rotary phones. Really good topic. Love the comments. And like I say, I just personally like a cell phone so much easier. In fact, I even had to go and change the battery because found the battery went dead on the last go-around. And once you XP, back to net control.
Here I am. Okay. It's the Windows. That's happened to me before, where the window gets in the way and I can't tell if I'm on the air. You know, it's been mentioned to me a couple other things on these pay phones that they were particularly good for those who were making bets and also for folks making out. So if you were talking about the pumpitus of love, or putting some money on the fifth race at Hialeah, it was a very good tool to be using them. We're talking about phones tonight, and thank you, Rick, by the way, for that. We're talking about phones tonight, all different kinds of phones, whether they were the rotary type or cell phones or what have you. And we're talking about cell phones and smartphones right now. And you've probably heard that term smartphone tossed around a lot. But if you've ever wondered exactly what a smartphone is, well, you're not alone. How is a smartphone different than a cell phone and what makes it so smart? In a nutshell, a smartphone is a device that lets you make telephone calls, but also adds in features that in the past that you would have found only on personal digital assistants or a computer, such as the ability to send and receive email and edit office documents, for example. But to really understand what a smartphone is and is not, we have to start with a little bit of history lesson here. In the beginning, there were cell phones and personal digital assistants. You remember those, PDAs. Cell phones were used for making phone calls and not much else, while PDAs, like the Palm Pilot, were used as personal portable organizers. A PDA could store your contact info in a to-do list and could sync with your computer. Let me just buy a nickel. Eventually, PDAs gained wireless connectivity and were able to send and receive email. Cell phones, meanwhile, gained messaging capabilities too. PDAs then added cellular phone features, while cell phones added more PDA-like and even computer-like features. The result was the smartphone. So how about you? Do you use a smartphone? Are you finding that you use it for everything? Let's take some more check-ins right now. It's the Global Family Hour. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars looking for check-ins right now.
6 Victor, recheck.
Alpha Alpha Tango, recheck.
Sierra United, November.
Okay, nice group of folks there, and we'll start it all off with 6 Victor. Come on aboard, Gordon.
Hey, thanks, Gary. KY6V here. I want to take you back to Rick's comment for just a second on cloth-covered cables in a telephone service. You know, that goes into amateur radio building as well. Just a real pain in the hoo-hoo, Gary. I mean, that stuff being cotton-covered, stringy in nature. If you had to make a splice, or you had to repair a connection, it took you 10 times longer than it does for us today with the plastic covering. You had to properly peel off this doggone covering, get it far enough away from the wire connection that was under it, and try to solder it. And if you didn't do it properly, this stuff would get in the middle of the solder blob and just raise holy Cain. So for those that lived during that time, my blessings to you, because it was just a downhill fight. As far as cell phones today, we have one of the latest in the house, Gary. You know, as I said earlier, it'll even be programmable to turn on your coffee pot in the morning. I leave that for the female gender in the house. I don't want to have anything to do with it. KY6V, over.
Well, that's why I'm figuring, now that I've got some time, if I have nothing better to do, or if one morning I sit down with my cup of coffee and decide, hey, today I'm going to play around with that smartphone, you know. That's how it's going to get done. But I'm not jumping up and down to do it, you know. Stephanie is marvelous at this. She is just she's the cell phone queen, the smartphone queen. She's just amazing with it.
But yeah,
she doesn't use it. She doesn't use the phone. She uses the internet side of the cell phone.
And texting.
She's a big texter. But she's not a big talker. She's a texter, not a talker. I suppose one of these days I'm gonna take the plunge, and I'm gonna get the smartphone and set the whole thing up, and I'll have it flush in the toilet, you know, the whole thing, and I'll give a full report on that one. But until then, I'm not in any big hurry to jump in there. That's for sure. Thanks, Gordon. We'll pick it up again with AAT with a recheck. Come on aboard there, Gaylord.
Okay. Well, gang, I still got the old Princess phone. Manufactured in Singapore by AT&T. The date is, 11-26-88. So this phone's been in the house for quite some time. For service, call 1-800-222-3111. And it complies with Part A. I guess that's Part 68 of the FCC rules. FCC regulatory number, Ringer equivalent, 0.4 amps, and 0.7B. I imagine that's how loud it is. AT&T Technologies Incorporated. And it's got the old cord on it. And I thought all the old wall phones were had the cord and no cotton cord. I don't think the newfangled cord in the ring, like on microphone cables, it didn't come out until the old standard black phone, and that was probably about, 1948 or something like that, 1950, with the party lines, and they still work good. I guess that's the old ringer pack, or maybe it has touch tone. Yeah, it's got touch tone pads. Well, anyway, it works good. Let me rekey so I don't time out. Okay. I don't have my my egg timer out here, so I'm just reminding myself in my head. That must have been close to 4 minutes. When you're talking, I'm having fun there, gang. So, I just thought I'd throw that in. I still got one of the older ones, 88, and here it is, 2013, so that's a 25-year-old phone, folks. Back to net, WH2AAT.
Hey, thank you, Gaylord. Yeah, I never had to mess with that cloth wire. I remember seeing it, and I can remember, disconnecting phone. You remember the old four-lug wall plates they used to use? I remember disconnecting phones from the wall that used that stuff, but never had to do a splice with it or anything of that nature. So it doesn't sound like it was the most inviting stuff in the world, and sounds like everybody was really, really happy when they went to the plastic coated stuff. That's the only stuff that I've ever really had any experience with was that, but I do remember the cloth-covered stuff, that's for sure. We're talking about phones tonight on the Global Family Hour, and we have Kathy waiting in the wings, K6SUN. Kath, what's up?
Well, good evening once again, Gary. I want to say good morning to Shante, Sri Lanka. He says he'll be back, but he's going to be visiting the United States for some time, so I wanted to say good morning to him. PDA, I had a Palm Pilot, never used it, so I ended up, stored it away. I'm not sure if I gave it to someone, but, it was just not something I used. Smartphone, I decided to get a smartphone this summer. My contract was up, and I thought about it for quite some time. It was just the expense I didn't want, but it would be a way to connect if I couldn't get into the internet at home. Let's say the internet was down. It's a way for me to connect that way. I want to thank Stephanie for that stylus. It's greatly helped me, so thank her for that. But I, along with Stephanie, am not really a talker on the phone. If I don't recognize the call coming in, I won't answer it. But I do a lot of texting between family and friends and school. And I have 1,000 texts I can use. And I'm at 75% for the month. So you can see I do a lot of that. Did want to check back in about the smartphone. I didn't think I'd get one. But I took that plunge, and I'm enjoying the phone. So I'll turn it back to you, Gary. And thanks for a wonderful net this evening.
Thank you, Kathy, very much. And we'll say hello to Shante as well. And welcome aboard tonight. For if if you check back in, we would love to hear from you, that's for sure. My smartphone is in the future. I did have a PDA. It was actually the one that I had was a it was what they called a pocket computer. It had Windows Mobile on it. This was quite a few years back. I'm going to say 4 or 5 years back. And it was like a 333 megahertz processor in this thing, and it could do a lot. Actually, but I never really used the thing. I was not, you know, I said, well, it's a really cool toy, but what am I going to use this thing for? So I ended up selling the thing, put it up on eBay and sold it, and it was, I hope it found a happy home there. By the way, Steph says you're more than welcome for the stylus, and but I can recall using that, that pocket computer, and it kind of felt like to me that, like I said, well, gee, you know, it'd be kind of cool if this was. I can remember thinking to myself, this would be very cool if I could use this to make a phone call, or if I could I could get on the internet with it. But I you know, it was not at that point in time capable of making a phone call. So I was saying, well, that would be cool. So you can see how the evolution went from those PDAs to smartphones. It was not that big a jump at that point in time. But thanks for checking in, Kath. And as you may have gleaned, the topic tonight is telephones. We're talking all about different types of phones. And I'm going to buy a nickel so I don't time out. And, you know, we've had a lot of talk tonight about what they call plain old telephone systems, or sometimes you'll see it referred to as POTS. They're still out there. That network isn't very much in use here in the United States, but globally, you're going to find the mechanical network, and basically, you have as we were talking about those rotary phones, and you take a look at how this all works. You break it down to its basic components. Okay, a telephone, first of all, it's a relatively simple device. It has five main components, which consist of a microphone, a speaker, a duplex block, a switch, and a ringer. Now, some have a touch-tone keypad, and that controls a device called a frequency generator. And we were talking about that a little bit earlier, where you generate the DTMF tones. The small electronic microphone and the speaker, an amplifier used to increase the intensity of the sound, are set in the handpiece to receive and send sounds. A device called the duplex coil blocks the speaker's voice so it doesn't loop back to the earpiece while the speaker is talking. Now, this helps prevent echoes on the line where you could hear yourself talking. And if you have a VoIP phone, you'll notice that you sometimes hear yourself echoing on that. Now, your handset, your regular handset would, or your regular phone set, I guess I should say, would have a duplex coil. So it's not due to the same thing. Generally speaking, the output of the VoIP signal is such that it's a little bit louder in the line, and the microphones are a little bit more sensitive, so you can pick it up that way. So the there usually is a control feature in your VoIP software where you can kind of turn down the audio on the handset if you're getting echo. Now, the ringer consists of an electrical circuit that generates a ringing tone and an amplifier to make it loud enough to be heard. If you have a touch-tone phone, the touch-tone number pad is on top of sensors which convert the mechanical energy of pushing the buttons into electrical energy that can be transmitted into the telephone exchange. Each number is tuned to a slightly different frequency electrical signal so that the exchange can tell them apart. Let me just buy another nickel here. Which leads us to telephone networks. And this is the WAN part of things, if you will. Telephone networks, or public switched telephone networks, sometimes abbreviated, or always abbreviated rather, is PSTN, is the name for the collection of telephone wires, exchanges, satellites, and mobile phone towers that together allow us to make phone calls from any phone to any other phone. Sometimes this network is, as we've been talking about, called the plain old telephone system, or POTS. Every fixed line telephone is connected to a phone line and a physical cable. This is usually made of a pair of copper wires and runs from your home to a digital concentrator box near the side of the road. You've seen those. If you've looked at them, you'll see that there's phone lines leading to these. You may not know exactly what that was, but that's what it is. Now, the electrical signals from your phone are compressed by the digital concentrator into a digitized system of codes. It can then feed them into a cable carrying codes from many other phones in your neighborhood as well. This cable is usually a coax cable or fiber optic cable. Carries these phone conversations to the local telephone exchange. I'm going to buy another nickel. If the call is local, the telephone exchange will digitally connect your phone call to the line of the person you dialed. While this used to be a manual process, today it's fully automated. Now, one interesting thing that I was going to mention earlier, you know, back in the old days when all you had was rotary phones, and you had the mechanical type of relays, the mechanical phone switching systems. If you were within the same exchange, let's say that you were in the 476 exchange. By the way, remember exchange names. I remember the exchange that I grew up with was the Granite exchange. So you would have Granite 48372. And so if you were within that exchange, you could just dial the four numbers rather than the exchange numbers. You could just go 8372, and it would ring that number. That was pretty cool. It was a little shortcut that you could do in the day. So just to continue a little bit about the phone networks, if your phone call is to someone outside your local area, your call is forwarded from the local exchange to a main exchange. The main exchange will either direct your phone call to another local exchange to be connected, or to another main exchange, or to an international exchange for international calls. So that's basically it in a nutshell. It's a lot in a nutshell. So we'll take some more check-ins right now. I'm KC2RMO, and this is HealthCars.
Hey, A.T.
Alima, Charlie Bravo.
6, Victor.
Off to the Echo.
Okay, good group that time around. We'll kick it off with AAT. Come on aboard.
Okay, I can remember the days. It wasn't a 10-digit number, neither. It seemed like it was back in the party days, party line days. It seemed like it was something like, my number's Blue 61. You know, on those old black phones that came out with the extension rubber cord in the holes. Was a series of letters, like ABC for one, I think it was, and DEF for the next number, et cetera, et cetera, if I remember right. So, this spell out blue was number 2-something, and whatever. Anyway, people were giving their numbers out like that. I'm a Blue 61. Or some darn thing. Anyway, there wasn't no 10 digits like it is nowadays. You know, actually it's 11. I don't know if you still got to dial 1 for a long distance call here in the United States or not. I'm not sure. But it seemed like when I had the 1 and then the area code and the other 7 digits, I get through. And another thing, I thought all smart. What I consider a smartphone is one of these newfangled things that you carry around, and as long as you got it on, you got the internet available to you. And I guess that's why it may cost so much, that and the gigabyte system, so the kids can download about every piece of music that's out there, or movie, or et cetera, et cetera. I'm still not sure about how many gigabytes it takes to say download War and Peace or something like that. And I'm learning more things. I'm going to be going probably to the Samsung Experience stores and Best Buy to get re-educated. Not necessarily by those behind the counter, but those who come up and have questions. That's how I found out about converting my Samsung tablet into a cell phone, really. There's a couple of individuals, they said it was up in Vermont and Canada, no cell phone towers to speak of, and they had some important phone calls to make. So I guess while I was up there, they met somebody to tell them about phone or tone or whatever it was, and they went to a Wi-Fi restaurant or somewhere that had Wi-Fi, and they was able to make a telephone call, although there wasn't many cell phone towers anywhere up in northern Vermont where they were. And I think all them cells, they require line of sight. All the microwave frequencies that you got to be able to see over the horizon, line of sight, I believe. Anyway, that's my final thoughts for the net. Gaylord, WH2AAT.
Hey, thank you, Gaylord, once again. You reminded me of something when you're talking about those exchanges. That not far from here, just west of here, the infrastructure is crazy. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. There's a line that you cross about the middle of Rochester, all right, and that's 90 miles from here. Rochester is 90 miles from Syracuse. And when you get about into the middle of the city of Rochester, a different network takes over. And this is in regular switching, in conventional switching. And it is possible to have a situation where if I live on one side of the street, to call me from your side of the street, you have to dial 1. It's actually a long-distance call to dial across the street because of the way that is configured. So things can get really crazy with that. Yeah, you know, I remember, you know, like I say, the old Granite Exchange and Harrison Exchange and all those, and how you could dial within inside the exchange without dialing the extra numbers. But in this case, you actually have to go out of your way and make it a long-distance phone call just to dial across the street. It gets very complicated. We'll go on to Lima, Charlie, Bravo, and George. Hello there, sir, of Rochester.
Well, thank you again there, Gary. What can I say? Cell phones, you know, they're all right. Numbers was a little packed in. I had one of them flip ones there. That wasn't too bad. I can jig it in my pocket, you know. But what can I say? I guess it was a smartphone before I got this new Galaxy phone. And all it is, leaving the cell phone into one of these smartphones, it's a miniature computer. You know, as simple as that, it's a miniature computer. You know, and of course, I've got the ease to use the touchpad, but I still have a problem navigating through it and getting my fingers twitched and tween, you know, especially on the keyboard. If I'm trying to get to the caps, or lowercase, or even hit that little numbers button, I have a problem in that area. But, you know, also those pads come into play. I see, you know, that has the same capabilities, you know, to call in, call out, surf the web. You know, all that is a laptop without a monitor going straight up, but now I understand they've got them now with click-on ones. So You know, what can I say? Technology is moving. Even these pads, you got the keypad, touchpad, so to speak, right on the screen. And why should you tote the extra weight for another monitor? You know, I think it's a grand idea. And, you know, it has capabilities. Let me pause for the call here a moment. KW4EMA, Charlie Bravo. I've heard talk, about signals. I'm quite sure Comcast does it, and Bright House, which is hung up with a Roadrunner, and quite a few other, providers there throughout the country there. Since I'm fortunate enough to have two towers here in my yard, who knows, I might go ahead and rack them and stack them up another 50 feet or so, give Bright House a call and say, hey, what can I say, you help me out on my internet service, I might let you stick something up on the side of my tower there to help you create a hotspot, along with you could give me the right protection to keep everything clean from coming into my space. A lot of business out there, and there's spots that they need covered, and keep an eye out, keep an ear open. It could be beneficial. KW4 in my Charlie Bravo.
Hey, thank you, George. I know they're always looking for more places to put facilities. So yeah, maybe you should give them a call and just say, hey, we can help you out here. You're right. Might be a very good situation for you. So yeah, see what happens. Give them a shout. I know that that any place that they can put a cell, they are really really anxious to do it. So yeah, definitely might be worth the definitely worth the effort. Thank you, sir. Thank you for checking in, and we will move it along to 4PR. Come on aboard, sir. Okay, we have 4PR who checked in earlier. Kevin, come on aboard.
Gary, that's a station coming through Papa Romeo in the Keys. I didn't catch his call. I'm sorry. KY6V, over.
Yeah, I didn't catch the call myself. I saw the 4PR come up, and that's what I was using. So, station calling from the Keys. If you're still with us, try it one more time.
It wasn't GZE, was it?
It well might have been. The audio sounds about that. Was that you, sir?
It could be. I called in, yeah, W1 Golf Zulu Echo, Big Pine Key. And, name's Paul, though.
Bet that was you. Welcome aboard. Welcome, what's going on with you?
It was very interesting listening to all the telephone conversations. Holy mackerel. Our first telephone that we remember, as a matter of fact, it was one of the first, was one that you've seen them on the TV, I imagine. They're the, look like a big, tall, black microphone on top, and then the receiver that you listen to hung on the side. And and I remember the number. Now, that's a freaking major. I was about 14 years old. I'm almost 90 now. Our original number on that was 3713. And on up the line, the last telephones that I remember that I knew how they worked were the old stepper switches, where you got to click, 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 click on the dial and step the stepper switch. And the next one stepped another one, and finally hooked into the party that you were calling. Of course, before that, they had the ladies to plug in the jacks and all that kind of stuff. That's as far as I go in in telephone technology, fella. Or gentlemen and ladies, W1GZ back.
Hey, that's doing pretty good. I remember the stepping. I remember the relays and how that, you know, you would close the certain set of certain numbers would close a certain set of relays, you know, on the down the line, it was kind of like a domino effect type of a thing. But that's how you placed your call. That's how you got your routing. Wow, almost 90. Let me give you a little round of applause here. That's great. That really is super to hear from you. Are you a South Cars member, by the way?
No, I used to. I was up in Delaware. We used to call into East Cars all the time. I don't hear. I must not have a good enough antenna or something. I just don't hear South Cars on 40 meters. I've heard it a little bit once in a while, but I haven't heard it good enough to call in.
Well, you're certainly welcome to join us here on the VoIP end of things, and if you'd like, it's of course absolutely free. All we need is a little bit of information from you. Again, your calls. If you could just give us your calls one more time, and your name, and an email that we can reach you at. We'd love to have you as part of the South Cars VoIP membership.
Okie doke. Yeah. The call is William 1, Golf, Zulu Echo. I forget what else you asked me for, but we don't have a computer, so I don't have an email. Although, we live in a duplex next to my son, and he has a computer, and he has a smartphone, all that junk. But anyway, he's gonna get me an interface. He has a router over there, and we're right next door to one another that I can get into. So I may have the capability in a month or so whenever he gets his stuff together. If we do that, we'll call in here and get you to put us on South Cars.
Well, you got yourself a deal. You get your facility straightened out, and we will be more than happy to welcome you aboard. It's great to hear from you tonight, too. We've been talking about phones and all the different technologies and all the crazy stuff. Kathy had put a message in earlier in the text box about cordless phones. And, boy, you just talk about that. How much that's changed, huh? Do you remember when you had to extend the antenna from the walkie-talkie handset, you know? And now it's just a little tiny phone that fits into the palm of your hand. You wouldn't even know the difference. And the frequencies have changed a lot on those, too. We're up into the gigahertz range on these cordless phones. They used to be just above the some of the ham bands in the early days. So a lot of big changes there. And of course, the more bandwidth they have with the higher frequencies, the more channels they can have, and the less interference. So, you know, that's how it always goes. But remarkable set of technology there that's evolved as well. So things are just incredible when we think about the days of the old party lines to where we are today and controlling devices remotely from smartphones and all that stuff. It's just an amazing time. You kind of wonder where are we going next with this thing, too. We are coming up to the last quarter of the second hour, and we maybe would like to have some more check-ins right about now. So let's hear from you. We'll take check-ins right now on the Global Family Hour. I'm KC2RMO. And did I forget Gordon? I forgot Gordon. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to get deported. KY6D. Mea culpa. Come on aboard.
I was wondering about that. Thanks, Gary, KY6V. Well, you know, first of all, first comment is that before I did away with my landline phone, I had a cordless phone. And that dude was up at 13 gigahertz, believe it or not. And worked very well. And I love the comment that George made on the hotspot and, you know, putting something on his tower. George, your ISP system, being Bright House, has a hot spot somewhere in the vicinity of about Plymouth and 15A in DeLand. And it works very good until you get about 2 miles away from it, and then it goes kaput. So maybe Orange City would be a great advantage. Gary, I would like to ask, let me buy a nickel here. You know, one of my opinions, be it right, wrong, or indifferent, the question would be, do the techs in a telephone business really know how it all works? It's my opinion that you have a level one technician that knows the difference between a red wire and a black wire. And he comes up into your house, puts a plug in the wall, gets your system going from the telephone to the jack outside that then connects to the cable to the outside street main feed. Now that requires a technician too, the way that I see it. And that technician too needs to know that he's got to take those red and black wires from the house and get them to the street. And then it takes a technician three to understand that this now needs to go down the cable that is run between all these telephone poles to get to a switching device. And then you call customer service, Gary, and you say, my router is not communicating. It is not talking to your cable on the pole. And the guy says, we'll send a technician out, and they send a technician one out. KY6V, over.
Well, you've hit the nail pretty much on the head. That's really how most support organizations work, you know, that the guy that comes into your house knows how to put that jack in the wall and how to hook it up to get it to the interface. But that's about as much as he knows and about as much as he cares to know. And right on down the line, the guys that are taking it from what they call that interface, from the interface to where it joins the rest of the network, they call that the last mile. So the people that go from the last mile to the rest of the network would be the equivalent of level two people, and anything beyond that they would refer to engineering. The phone company that I worked for was a long distance provider, an ISP, and we also had a VoIP business division was basically replacing PBXs with VoIP telephone systems, and they were good from anywhere from 6 to 300 seat offices. You know, that's what I did. I started out as a rep there, and I ended up over in the VoIP section. But that's the structure is just that, you know, the level one person in support is going to take it, you know, to the point where he can either refer it or do a business type solution where, well, I'm sorry it didn't work out for you, you know, we'll give you a refund, that sort of thing. But you don't usually, you're not going to have senior people, you know, in those level one positions, that's for sure. They move them up. That's where you really need the horsepower, is in the level two, and some places are structured up to a level three, but typically it's level one, level two, and then engineering. That's how it goes. Let me just buy a nickel here for a minute. So we're talking about phones tonight. We've been talking about cell phones, and we've been talking about plain old telephone system type of things, and we've been talking about smartphones and pocket computers and the whole thing. It's been a pretty interesting conversation so far. How much has this stuff changed? How much has this stuff changed our lives when you think about that? That You know, again, I'm kind of the exception to the rule, although I've heard a couple of folks tonight talking that way, too, that okay, you know, I've got this cell phone, but it doesn't mean an awful lot to me, but some people it's very important to. So we'll take one more round of check-ins, and maybe that's what we'll shut things down with tonight is with the question, what does your cell phone mean to you? What does your smartphone mean to you? How important is that thing in your life? So let's hear from it right now. We'll take one last round of check-ins on the Global Family Hour. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
VXP, Ray Check.
Looks like that's it. Okay, Rick, you're going to be the one to close the barn doors, they used to say. Come on aboard, Rick.
This is N1VXP. Yeah, you mentioned about cordless phones. I got a neighbor that has one. And he's been playing around trying to figure out how to get a better range on the handsets. And he thinks he's actually come up with it. This particular phone, the cradle part, has actually a jack on the back of it for an external antenna. So he said, well, why can't I turn around and put something up high in the house or even up on the roof? He tried the idea of a long cable and antenna on the roof, but that proved to be not really that great. It actually cut the reception down quite a bit. So he ended up just putting an antenna, and he tried to come up with the idea that I had suggested. I said, well, why can't you figure out what the frequency is and cut a piece of, say, copper wire long enough to make the, you know, a homebrew antenna. Came up with this idea that, you know, it ended up, he said, well, why can't I use, I said, you know, don't use copper wire, actually use brazing rod and see if you can't do something. So we came up with it, and I think it sends back to the old amateur radio that really makes a difference. But let me drop for a second. This guy is actually able to get almost a mile range on his cordless phone. He says, I can't believe that I've gotten so far. I remember a while back hearing about cordless phones that had several hundred feet radius. And I thought that was great, but, you know, I guess with the higher frequencies, that makes a big difference on the range on them. But it's not a bad idea as long as the only thing, like I noticed with them, they do require an AC plug-in, because they don't always run continuously for a long time on battery, so you need that extra little power. And I guess with, say, a power outage, you're limited time on the phone itself working. But it's definitely something that I guess cell phones have pretty well taken over that area. It I heard a while back that those who are paying for cell phones are actually paying for those who have landlines, because there's more money made on the cell phone service and less on the landline. I forget the exact date they've been mentioning, but they say by a certain date, landlines will probably be a thing of the past, and everybody will be using cell phones. N1GXD back to net control.
Thanks, Rick. Yeah, that's without a doubt. As a matter of fact, to kind of illustrate that point, that the folks that have been affected in New Jersey by Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy, are still having troubles with their phone systems at this point, because the phone company is not going to replace the copper infrastructure. It's too expensive. They don't want to replace the technology. They're just I forget what they called it. There's a another type of system that they want to use. If you listen to the folks from that area talk, they don't really like it, but that's basically all they're going to get, because they're not going to repair the standard network. It's just too much to for them to get involved with, and they want to phase it out anyway, so it's a goner. But I was just thinking, as far as that that cordless phone goes, it would just be fun to see, you know, like maybe calculate what you'd need and build like a little J-pole that you could hook it up to, you know, and see how far this thing would go. It'd be kind of pretty cool. Might be fun to play with. We have a comment from Six Victor. I'm not going to miss you this time, sir. Come on aboard, Gordon.
Well, thank you, Gary. KY6V here. I was going to say to Rick, you know, probably this gentleman's first problem was a loss in the coax that he was running between the cell phone, or not the cell phone, but the wireless phone to the antenna. You know, it gets very dramatic when you get up, particularly around 13 gigahertz. So if he was to increase the size of the coax and particularly go to something like Heliax, the loss factor between his phone and the antenna would be dramatically reduced, which is a problem that a lot of repeaters and that kind of thing have if they're using smaller coax at VHF and UHF, and now we're talking, you know, 2, 3, or 13 gigahertz. So that's something to think about. George had an interesting comment, Gary, in the box. He says, now, when you get this kind of range on your cordless telephone, anybody else listening on that frequency is going to hear you. Gary, KY6V, over.
And that is very true. I can remember having a scanner. And if you just set that to scan through a wide range of frequencies, you would invariably pick up both baby monitors and cordless phones. If I remember right, back at the time, they were in that 900 megahertz range, somewhere around there, and you would get them very clearly, as a matter of fact. So that's I think the other advantage of going way up into the gigahertz range, that you're less likely to hear somebody on those frequencies. But I still think it would be really, really cool to come up with something like a J pole or some sort of an antenna that you could just keep moving, you know, in increments away from the base, and just see how far that thing would function. It might be a kind of a cool little project to play around with, you know, see what happens. But interesting. So there again is another project that may or may not be worthwhile doing, but would be fun anyway. Hey, this has been a good network tonight. This really has been. This is a subject that's near and dear to everybody, and it is something that certainly is going to be part of our lives in one form or another, pretty much forever. You know, I want to thank everybody who participated tonight. It really is amazing how far this technology has come, and who knows what's going to happen in another 20 years. You know, maybe we'll see an evolution into Star Trek-like replicators, or maybe something from the Jetsons, you know. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. It should be interesting. This has been South Cars, the South Coast amateur radio service. VoIPNet schedules and general information may be found on the voip.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session has been Gary, KC2RMO, inviting you to join me tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock Eastern for Ask an Elmer, where we'll take your questions and comments and just general gassing about ham radio in general. Okay, we'd love to have you there. We're saying 73 for right now, and we're closing this VoIP session. Thanks for your participation. This net is closed.